Shocker, how are you?
I'm doing awesome, buddy. You gotta love the Friday before Thanksgiving weekend. The start of the NHL season is upon us, but not before I strap on the old feed bag for an entire weekend.
The what bag?
Feed bag.
Oh, nice. Yeah, you might want to limit your intake, okay? Let's just say that. Let's.
That's offside for you to say to me.
Buddy, that was just a little Ray Ferraro joke, I thought it'd be good. The Griffin Reinhardt, I don't think it's any surprise to anybody that he got sent down the way he was playing. My question is, outside of, like, it's not just foot speed for Griffin Reinhardt. He's very almost laid back too much a little bit on the ice. What do you think he's got to do to become a regular NHLer? Do you think it happens at Edmonton over the next few years?
They're going to give him time to develop. I think they still view him as a pretty young defenseman. And while there are some significant issues in his game, like for sure, I think they're going to be patient with him and try and give him a little bit of time. There's a couple of things. And to me, Griffin looked worse this year than he did last year. He looked less confident this year than he did last year. He lost his confidence early on in that first game play on the right side. It was a train wreck, and he never got it back. And so a couple of things to my eye. Sense of urgency. He needs to play with a little bit more sense of urgency, and that maybe is to your point about not being laid back. He needs to pass the puck harder because he throws muffins up ice all the time. It's a bad habit he gets into, and he needs to keep his feet moving. When his feet, he's not a fast guy. When he stops moving his feet, it gets a lot worse. And so to me, it's that sense of urgency. It's the making firm plays, and it's keeping his feet moving. And then a guy his size needs to be bumping some people around a little bit more. There were a few opportunities he took last night to try and throw some body checks, and good on him. But he needs to get a little bit more aggressive physically. And I just don't know. Those other ones he can control. The other ones are probably reasonable fixes. I don't know if he'll ever have the aggressiveness that I think he needs to be able to be effective.
Ryan Schaug from TSN joins us. Tyler Pitlick's doing everything to earn himself a spot. I think he's a lock now, especially with the injuries, to earn a spot. And if Drake Caggiula is not ready for opening night, and they're going to go with three centers and have Draisaitl down the middle, do you think Pitlick might be pushing a guy even like Jesse Puljujarvi on that right side?
I don't know if anybody's pushing Puljujarvi.
So you think Puljujarvi is a lock to start the season?
No. No, that's not what I'm saying. I don't think that how anybody else plays has any bearing on whether he's here or not. I think it's entirely about how he plays. If he plays well enough that they think it's a good idea to have him here, then they'll play him here. And if he doesn't quite look ready, then they'll send him down. And it's kind of irregardless of other guys pushing for spots and who is or isn't here. Tyler Pitlick could be shooting the lights out like crazy, and if they think Puljujarvi's best served starting on a skill line in the NHL, that's where they're going to start him. So I don't think that Puljujarvi is affected by what anybody else is doing around him. I think it's all about him, his development, and what's best for him. And the way it's lining up right now, to me, looks like it's probably heading to the American Hockey League to get a good, solid professional footing under him in North American-style hockey. We'll see. They may want to give him a few games to see how he looks during regular season play, and there isn't really any harm to doing that if they can make it work on the roster. But I think it's about him and how he's playing and less about anybody else.
So Patrick Maroon, Benoit Pouliot, especially Pouliot, I think had his best game of the preseason last night. They're obviously going to use him in penalty kill situations. And Maroon just continues to look good, man. Like that trade late in the season last year, especially with them only having to pay 75% of his salary, you know, could really work out in spades, because Maroon looks like a guy, Ryan, who's poised to have a career year. Now, I know a career year might only be 35 to 40 points, but he looks like a guy who could surpass his 34 points.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And, I mean, you know, it'll depend a little bit on what his line mates look like and if he can stay healthy, but he came into camp in better playing condition He was never speedy, but he looks better on that front. He's shown really, really nice flashes of hands in his time here. Definitely you can play him with skilled players that he can execute. And so the Oilers have lots of skilled players for him to play with. They'll potentially have Leon Draisaitl as a third line center for him to skate with. I mean, that is to have somebody as skilled and as good a puck distributor as Draisaitl as your third line center, for Maroon to have an opportunity to play with a guy like that. It's a great opportunity to pull some offense, even though he's the third left winger on this team. So, yeah, he's big. He's not easy to play against. He's heavy. He can lean on people. He can step in and stand up for his teammates. He's got good hands in tight. Yeah, I agree with you. It does look like a good pickup, and he followed through on his end of the bargain, which was to put in the work and come in ready. And he looks like he is, and he really could have a really good year. And based primarily on the fact that he will probably have pretty high-end guys to play with, even from that third-line spot.
Ryan, last night, Connor McDavid just on a different level the entire game.
Yeah.
And maybe we shouldn't be surprised, hadn't seen it yet in the preseason. You almost forget just when he's going, he's got a gear that just no one else really in the league, maybe outside of Crosby and a few others like Kane, really have. And it's like 100 points. I did a lot of breakdown today on 100-point seasons. You know, there's not a lot of them in today's NHL. I think McDavid not only has an opportunity to get it, to become only the 11th player ever to get 100 points in a season before his 21st birthday. Like, he is,
yeah.
Like last night, from the best guys in the world, and he's just skating away from them for fun.
Yeah, it's funny. You don't want to, as a journalist, you almost want to check yourself a little bit and say, like, okay, I can't be gushing here. You know, I'm supposed to cover this team and be unbiased journalist and call it down the middle and stuff, right? That's kind of the credo that we try and live by. So it doesn't feel natural as a journalist to be gushing about one of these players that you have to cover. But there really is no other option when it comes to McDavid. I mean, there really isn't. I have never seen a combination of feet and hands that is this high end. To have absolutely world-class, top 1% in the world hands and top 1% in the world explosiveness and speed, and then to combine that with a vision for the ice that is in the top few percent in the world as well, he is high-end on so many fronts that when he puts it all together and he gets going, he's the best player in the world. And now, part of being the best player in the world and carrying that moniker with you is doing it over an 82-game season and into the playoffs and when it matters. And he hasn't had the opportunity to do that yet. So I'm not saying he's the best player in the world. I think he has probably the best combination of skills in the world. And now it's just about him having an opportunity to put that together over a full season and build towards becoming the best player of the world. But nobody in the league has the combination that this kid has. And as he's learning to use it, it's unbelievable to watch. Was that too gushing? I don't know.
No, to me, the job is to give an honest assessment and opinion as far as my,
yeah,
and
that's when I look my at, honest
yeah,
assessment.
Exactly. When I look at McDavid, like if anyone wants to pick out a flaw, I know the only flaw they're going to pick out is, well, he doesn't score enough breakaways, right? And of course, then when you look at shootouts, say, because I'm going to count his breakaways this year. And if he scores on 50% of his breakaways, then that means he's one of the greatest shootout players the NHL's ever seen. So,
yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, I think people have to have what's a realistic number on being good on breakaways. But
yeah, and I mean, face-offs too, right? Like, he's going to need to have some consistency to play the kind of minutes they want to play him into penalty kill. He's going to need to be better in the face-off circle, and he's been better at points this year. I think he had a rough night last night, if I remember the stats correctly. So that's an area that he has to work on. So it's not like he doesn't have any holes in his game at all, but they're few and far between, and they're things that as he grows and matures and gets stronger, he'll be able to handle.
Ryan Rashog from TSN also thought Eberle had his best game of the preseason as well.
Yep.
Looked like he and McDavid starting to get on the same page. And Eberle, the adjustments to his stick, like last night I just saw his stick handling was kind of reminiscent of last year.
Yeah, he handled the puck well, for sure he did. And he made a few nice passes. A little bit is in his own zone, when he gets the puck on the wall, he's going to need to get some of that timing down of playing with Connor, because there's a few times where he's kind of trying to shovel passes to Connor and he missed, or it was a little behind him or a little here or there. So that flow of when Connor breaks and where to hit him and how, that's going to come with even more time together. But it's like he's starting to just put the puck to areas knowing Connor will be able to skate there to it. So as he gets more efficient at dishing the puck to Connor on the breakout, then they're going to be more and more dangerous off the rush. I mean, McDavid from the red line in should have the puck on every rush, because he's just – do you see in that game last night, there were a couple times where McDavid got the puck 5 feet inside his own blue line and the defenseman was between the blue line and the red line and still turned around and started skating as fast as he could back towards his own zone because they knew the kid was coming. That's the kind of intimidating speed that Connor has. And as he and Jordan learn to take advantage of defensemen and intimidate defensemen with that, they're going to be so deadly off the rush. But they got to click a little bit better from their own blue line into the middle of the ice, and off Connor goes.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. On the defense, Ryan, what do you make of Benning? Do you think Benning could be here on opening night, or do you think it's going to be Fain and Sekera?
Yeah, I mean, does it come down to Greiba a little bit too? I mean, is Greiba not potentially going to grab a contract here and that pushes Benning to a top pairing in the American League? So you have Sekera, Fain, and you got Klefbom and Larson, Nurse, Davidson, Greiba is your seven, and then Benning is your extra guy in the minors. I thought that Greiba was just okay last night. I thought he made a few mistakes and was exposed a couple of times and some penalties and stuff like that. Got himself into a little bit of trouble. So that would raise an eyebrow for me, but no more trouble than Benning would get himself into on a nightly basis trying to learn the game at the NHL level. So I think Greiba right now is a better option than Benning to start the year with the team and be in the press box. You want Benning sitting there playing every single night in the American League, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I would do it. Just like I've said it all along. To me, Jesse Puljujärvi, I saw it again last night. Like, he had the one giveaway, the resulting goal the other night, and then he made the same pass that, you know, was intercepted, and this time it was stopped. And, Jonas Gustafsson, we didn't talk about it. A lot of people are concerned about it, and I get one game doesn't change it, but he looked very good last night.
He did, yeah, and he looked very bad his last game. So we should mention that he looked very good last night, because we certainly piled onto him when he wasn't very good, but he was sharp, moving around in there nicely, made some really nice anticipation-type saves where had no business making the save, but because he read the play properly, got there. So he's seeing it well. He needed to do that because after a performance, he's not going to play again until the regular season now. And after putting together a performance like that, that's what will be fresh in Todd's mind. And when it's time to potentially go to him, Todd will have a little bit of a confident feeling as opposed to however he would have felt after that last train wreck of his. So he needed that. Todd needed him to have that. The ball is Talbot's. He's going to run a long, long way with it, as you've talked about a lot. But it's good that Gustafsson's last performance was a positive one, because he might not see game action for a little while here.
Yeah, I would agree. I've looked at that schedule, and if the orders are rolling and Talbot's playing great, honestly, I'm like, hey, sorry, Gustafsson. Like, when I rank importance of guys on the team that need to be ready to go early in the month of October, he might be at the bottom of my list, because if Talbot's playing well, I'm running with him the entire month.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, just play him and play him and play him, and read off of him, see how his fatigue level is and stuff. But yeah, just keep rolling him out there. And but again, if you had Gustafsson's last performance been like his, the one that he played last game or two games ago there, I mean, that's tough, right, for Todd to sit there. And when do you give that guy the opportunity to go in? So now he's given Todd something to think about where, yeah, this guy can give us a game. So that was big for him. But I think I agree with you. I don't know if he'll go wire to wire, but we'll see a mountain of Talbot here in the early going, and so we should.
And one last one. Klefbom, Larson, pairing as individuals, what have you seen as we near the end of preseason?
Yeah, you know what? Larson looks good. He comes as advertised. His feet aren't an issue. That was one of the things I was interested to see when he got here, to get a close look at how he moved out there. And his feet are just good enough. They're not a huge asset, but they're not prohibitive to me. He has a little bite to him. He shoves back in front of his own net. He gives it back. He doesn't make life easy in and around his goalie, which is good. He plays hard in the corner, uses his body well. He's not a perfect player, and he'll make some mistakes. He's not an absolute technician out there, but he's really, really good. I don't know if he's a first-pairing right-shot defender or not. I don't know if he's a true number-one-pairing guy. He's absolutely a top-four defenseman at this point, from what I've seen. But I don't know that he's a top-pairing guy. So let's let him have at her this season, because he's going to be treated like one, and see how he does.
Char, have a great long weekend. We will talk to you next week.
Okay, buddy. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. Enjoy yourself, and we'll chat soon.
Enjoy some pumpkin pie.
Oh, I will. Lots and lots and lots of whipped cream.